Hello, hello. Welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller. I am your host. I am so glad you are here with me today. Thank you for clicking on that link, that video, or the podcast. I'm so glad that you are going to join me today. This topic is just a fun one. It's one that I'm super passionate about. We are going to talk to a holistic nurse. And listen, my family comes from a whole bunch of nurses, you know, medical field, all the things. And I have a lot of family in the psychology realm too. And so we see a lot of overlap. And that's why I really love and I'm excited to talk to Brittany Cano. She is the founder of Faithful Fitness by Brittany and Holistic Nurse Coaches. She has a true passion for guiding others to prioritize their well-being so that they can fulfill their life's purpose with peace and passion through medicine, movement, and mindfulness. And she guides you in a way that heals and elevates mind, body, and soul. Brittany holds a bachelor's degree in science of nursing and is certified as a life coach, personal trainer, health coach, EFT, and mindfulness practitioner. She's able to instruct in yoga, which is so fun. Through her holistic wellness programs, classes, and retreats, she utilizes her background as a critical care nurse of 13 years combined with her experience in holistic wellness and somatic training to bring you transformation that is enjoyable and sustainable. I really appreciate this conversation, and I do want to let you know ahead of time that we do talk about grief. So if that's something that maybe isn't something that you're ready to step into, I totally understand, but maybe it is the time to think about how grief can affect your body in a holistic way and how to find healing in nutrition, but also in being able to explore that grief and what it looks like and how it's affecting your day-to-day life. So appreciate this conversation. I know you're going to love it. All right. So I have Brittany here. Brittany's going to share a little bit about wellness and nursing and how she got started to look into health holistically.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me, Hannah. It's great to be here. Yeah, so my background is in nursing. I actually wanted to go to school to be a psychologist, and my mom said, go ahead and go to nursing school. I'll help you pay for it. You can go to school here. And my best friend and I ended up going to nursing school together. Well, fast forward a few years into my career, and I'm like, yeah, this is like, people are so sick, and so much could be prevented. So much could be prevented. And I really, at that time, was going through a lot of transition myself and healing myself, and knew that I wanted to really promote health, because in the hospital system, it's, you know, primarily focused on sickness. Mm-hmm. So then now I do holistic wellness coaching. I primarily work with women who've been taking care of everybody, taking care of everything, and put themselves last. And they know that they can't keep doing it that way.
Yes.
And they're ready to connect back with themselves.
Great. So what made you think that, you know, with holistic wellness, that there needed to be more? What was the turning point for you?
Oh, I remember precisely what the turning point was. Well, let me just back up. Like, I'm from a small town in Illinois, and I didn't know anything about the word holistic or any of that until about 10 years ago. And I mean, they teach it in nursing school, but I feel like we just like grazed over it. Like it was, you know, maybe a 15-minute conversation. I don't know. I don't remember it from nursing school. But then when I started doing my own healing journey and realizing that it wasn't just going to be exercise, it wasn't just going to be eating, like it needed to be from all angles to really heal myself, move myself forward. And as far as when I knew that I wanted to help people in that way, well, I think as soon as I realized that we have that innate power to heal, that's when I was like, everybody needs to know about this. But I had a patient who was a code blue, which is they stopped breathing, had cardiac arrest. They came down to ICU. She was young. She was like early 60s, and she had diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And I just remember looking at her thinking, man, there's probably not a whole lot we're going to be able to do here, right? To make this a whole lot better. We might be able to keep her alive. I can't remember if she passed on or not. But then I knew, like, if I can help people before this point, there's so much you can do. You can reverse disease processes and prevent them entirely through lifestyle. So that's when I was like, I got to get on the other side of this.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure you've seen a lot of that, you know, in the healthcare system, of things that could have been prevented and weren't, and kind of you get to see the end result. And so being able to be on the other side of things is helpful. What do you do now? You said you were a nurse, and now what does your role look like today?
So I really, when I sit down with a client, or it depends, I do a lot of workshops too on mindfulness, on self-compassion, on inner child healing. But like, if I sit down one-on-one with somebody, it's like, we get the whole picture. What's going on? Like, how's your stress? What's going on in your mind? What's going on spiritually? Do you have spiritual practices? How's your family life? How do you treat your body? Like, we do a big intake and assessment so that then the whole big picture is laid out. And then we map out, like, well, where would you like to be? Like, what's going on now? And where do you want to get to? And how are we going to get there? So then through different processes, we end up working towards whatever it is that the client really wants to work on. So that's what I do now. And I love it. And I do a little bit of actually IV vitamin hydration on the side.
Okay.
It's a great complement to healing. So I see people for overall wellness. Are you familiar with the IV therapy?
I think so. I think I've looked into it for myself a little bit, but maybe explain to people who don't actually know.
It's awesome. And then one of those things too, when I like started adding that service to, you know, for my clients, I'm like, oh my gosh, so many people do this. And this is really like, at least in our area in Florida, it's everywhere. So it's great. I come to your house, I hook you up with an IV. So you get that cellular hydration. And then based on what symptoms you're having, we'll do different vitamins and nutrients to help you with whatever your goals are. For example, some people will just, they're going on a trip or they've been under a lot of stress. So it's overall wellness. Other people are like, I have COVID or the flu or GI bug or hangover, autoimmune conditions. So there's some of the formulas that can really support with that and symptom relief. So it just depends on what the individual's goal is, but it's really great for symptom management.
Okay. Do you ever, what would you say to somebody who kind of struggles with like hormone imbalance? Have you ever looked into that side of things?
I have. And this is what I tell my clients, because I get that asked that a lot, because I tend to work with like middle-aged and you know, menopausal, postmenopausal women.
Yes.
I know some about it. It's not my expertise. And what I find is that there's so many hormonal clinics popping up left and right. It really is a field that you can, from a practitioner standpoint, make a ton of money. But when you're choosing someone to support you with your hormones, which play a role in absolutely everything going on in your body, really want to go to somebody who knows what they're doing, who's not just looking and saying, oh, your testosterone's a little bit low, your estrogen's off a little bit, I'm going to give you this. Because then it's like, what else could be low, or what else could be high in your blood work, or what other things could be going on outside of that? So you really want to go to a practitioner who knows what they're doing. So that's what I tell people when it comes to hormones from that standpoint, but also lifestyle's huge. Like, I think as women, we get this message of like, it's going to be horrible when you go through perimenopause, through menopause, and there are lifestyle things that we can do to make that journey more, more enjoyable than what, you know, what it is if we don't make those lifestyle changes.
Totally. I just think that it's so crazy how much, you know, women go through, and I don't feel like there's enough research on, you know, wellness for women and stuff like that, especially in, you know, I don't know, just like the hospital. So,
well,
and it's, And I don't know if that's been your,
It is a lot of the pharmacology, you know, research is done on males. It's just now starting to really incorporate women. Fasting research is just now starting to really be focused on women, and
really
like, women need to fast different than men because we're cyclic, right? You know, our hormones are different than men. So, but I do find that there is research out there, and there's more and more, you know, in this field of women's health, which is great. It's just, we need to be able to educate ourselves and look for it and not settle, right? Not just settle for a diagnosis or settle for, you know, my life has to be miserable because I'm perimenopausal or I'm going through menopause, because that's not really the case. If we, you know, if we're willing to be an active participant in the journey.
Right. No, that's good. What do you think is like one wellness tip that you would give somebody if they wanted to take the next step towards better wellness in their life?
Oh, that's a good question, Hannah. I want to say I'm one of the people, I'm going to give you like 10 answers. This is going to sound so simple, but practicing mindful breathing. It's so simple.
Oh, like, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. What's such doing a fan. That? Yeah. Okay. Taking that big inhale through the nose. Let the belly rise and nice big exhale out through the mouth. Even with a sigh. Because what that does is it activates the parasympathetic, the rest and digest, the vagus nerve. And can have a really calming effect. Yeah. And it connects us. Yeah. Right. It connects us with ourselves. It connects us with the present moment. It's that pause and interruption. And so much of the time we're doing that shallow breathing. So I feel like that's such a free, accessible tool that we can do, whether we're like changing a diaper or pushing a wheelchair or driving the car. And it can make such a difference.
Oh yeah. That, so I'm a mental health counselor. And when I do that with my clients, there's a lot of times when they're just, it opens up the floodgates in a healthy way. And it's kind of crazy. It's like, it's nothing that I've said or they've said, but it's just breathing for the first time after something traumatic can be really powerful. So I love that you said that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So how do you recommend someone to, just get started? Like what is something that they could do to, where should they go, I guess, you know, to try and get, more wellness tips or resources?
That's a great question. There's so much information out there nowadays. So right. You want to be mindful of where you're consuming information. Mm-hmm. I think word of mouth is typically really great. If somebody in your life, like, oh, I love my therapist, for example, I'm sure you get a lot of clients that way from referral because people work with you and they trust you and they know how you are. So if there's somebody in your life that you're like, okay, that seems like a pretty healthy person. Let me ask them who they went to or what support they received. But I feel like the questions that we ask ourselves can be really powerful on our journey. So if you're having that inclination, I want to change my life, I want to improve my health. And then it's like, okay, what's the next step? There's so many resources out there. You can look on YouTube. You can look on, you know, so you can listen to podcasts or great wealth of information. There's so many books, but asking those powerful questions and then following through. But I'd say, like, if your soul is speaking to you and saying, hey, we want to live a healthier lifestyle, it's like, just get started. And the answers are revealed to you as you go along.
Yeah, I love that. So many times we don't, because we have the internet access, we don't actually ask those in our network, what's been working for you? So true.
Even my mom, she struggles with mental health issues, and she had so many issues with her pool. It was green and moldy, and this woman got that pool sparkling clean. And I'm like, Mom, if you would do that with your mental health, like if you would start to inquire and look and read and research and invest in your mental health like that, you'll find some solutions. You'll find some peace, you know, because like you said, like the answers will start to come. And like people, if she asks people around her, like, what do you do? She will find answers. So it's like the answers are there. We just need to be willing to look for the people, like professionals like you, ask the people that we trust, who they went to, and just begin that journey.
Yeah. So how did like mental health become an interest for you too? And how have you seen that connect to wellness? I feel like they're different, but also they can go really well together.
So I grew up, my mom, my family, like a lot of my family struggles with, you know, mental illness. I struggled with it. My dad died when I was young, like depression, anxiety. I wouldn't have known that that's what it was at the time. You know, I was just in that survival mode. Like, this is how you live your life. Cause pretty much everybody around me, that's the way I saw them living their life. Mm-hmm. But I personally struggled with it. And so I feel like, and just seeing my mom struggle, seeing people that around me struggle so much with it, that's what made me want to go to school for psychology. I was just amazed at how does the human mind work? How does this play into our lives? And it really does have a huge role in wellness because everything is connected. Like when I say the word holistic, because I know some people aren't familiar with it. I like to share about, if you think about a chair, I just do the biopsychosocial spiritual model. So the physical health is one leg of the chair. Your mental health is one leg of the chair. Your social life, which can include your job and so many other things, is another leg of the chair. And then your spiritual life is another leg of the chair. But you know what happens if one of the little legs are shorter, one was longer, one breaks off completely, it's not there. You know, we're not going to be able to sit
there. A lot of wobbling.
Once I began my business in the beginning, it was like, okay, this is your exercise plan. This is your eating plan. And that really typically for most people doesn't work to just give them a plan. Yeah. That's when I was like, okay, the mind is so powerful. The spirit is so powerful. Our emotions, you know, they play into this, our social life. So that's when I think from that point, really prioritize mental health even more.
I love that. Yeah. Seeing it practically and then for yourself and then also for your clients that there needs to be something more. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for myself, like feeling so crappy, but like running and ignoring it for so long. And then once I started addressing it and really started feeling true peace, that's when I realized, oh, okay, there's actual tangible things that we can do that can help our mental health.
Yeah. I like to tell people that like, it doesn't need to be this hard, you know, life doesn't need to be this hard.
I just was saying that to a client last night, who's actually a therapist. I was like, and then we need to have that reminder that we can do this healing. We can do this journey, this mental health thing with peace and flow. We want to make it hard, but it doesn't have to be like you said.
It doesn't. And especially over time, if we keep like what you're saying, like finding out resources from our network, talking to people about what to do when, you know, you have the mental health factor there and that you're looking for answers, you know, it gets easier over time. But I think in the beginning, it feels really heavy.
It feels really hard. And I feel like there's so much pressure that I need to fix it all. And I need to do all these things. And so that's a mindset that I've really been intentional about shifting to, is like, nothing needs fixed. Nobody needs fixed. I don't need fixed. Like we're already whole and we have our whole life. It's a never ending journey while we're here.
Totally. Exactly. It's such a rush progression to
do something else. Yeah. If you rush through it, you're going to just finally, there's more things to expand on.
That's so true. It does. It takes time and that's okay. You know? So I also wanted to ask you about a little bit about like how grief has affected your growth in this vein of it takes time. What have you experienced and what has helped you during that journey?
Oh man, I think like losing my dad at such a young age, like that grief had such a profound impact on how I live my life. I think in a lot of ways it did, I would say nearly 99% of the time tell loved ones, I love you, right? And I do think losing my dad and knowing that like deep pain at such a young age has been inspiration for me to like be on this growth and healing journey. And then fast forward, it's been 26, 27 years. And I've heard people say 15 years later, I'm still grieving them, or I didn't realize I didn't grieve them. And I actually experienced that myself, which I wouldn't have told you. I would have told you like, I've already grieved the loss of my dad, but recently with some other events that came up, which you know
how it is.
Present day traumas can ignite underlying traumas that we haven't dealt with. It really brought that grief to light, but in that showed me like, I don't have to be afraid of the grief, or I don't have to keep running from that. Cause I do think like so much of my life up until recent years was spent running from the pain of losing my dad. And I didn't even know it, right? Staying busy in school, you know, traveling, working a lot, relationships, like going to parties, like all of these things were just really a distraction because I don't think I could deal with the pain at 9 years old, you know? And
yeah,
so it's really it's been a growth, like catalyst though, the grief has, when I've been willing to sit with it. I worked with a grief mentor over the last like year and a half. And now it's been like one of the most great relationships, supportive healing relationships, working with somebody on that.
Wow.
Like I said, I was be the one to say like, I grieved my dad. Like, he was a wonderful father. I loved him, but that's what happens. People die. Like, you know, I'm okay. And I did a lot of work around it in the past too. So I think with grief is, you know, it's not linear. We don't know how it might show up later, and to be willing to be with whatever, you know, the grief presents, because on the other side is growth, is a deeper connection to ourselves, is a deeper connection to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the space to be able to hold that for other people too, you know.
It really has. I feel like in working with clients since I've been working through my own grief, I've been like, I'm a stronger coach now. Like, I have a greater capacity to hold space, like you said, because we're all of that, right? Like, we're the grief, we're the sadness, we're the joy, we're the accomplishments, we're the failures, or like all of that. And so it's helped me not compartmentalize so much too, like being able to like open my arms up to the grief, as hard as that's been.
Yeah. I mean, that is such courageous work, I think. And especially since you've lost him at such an early age. Yeah, that's hard. That really is.
Yeah. And you know, I think culturally we have such a, you know, influence to just hurry up and get on with it, with everything, right? And
I know.
Perform and do, and like taking that time though for yourself. If anybody's listening to this and this is resonating, it's like,
yeah,
one of the best things you can do for yourself is open your heart to whatever is in there, you know, whatever is in there, whatever needs your attention, whatever needs your love.
Yes. Yep. And take that time to grieve and listen to your body with that. I think it's huge.
The body, but you're will right. Tell you.
Yeah. The body will tell you. If you're not listening, it'll pop you up in other ways.
It sure does.
But yeah, our culture really doesn't create the space for grief. I often think about that. I'm like, there has to be other places, and there is for like groups and stuff like that. But I'm like, how is it that the only place for people who are grieving is the counseling center or like a counseling clinic? Like, it's just how our culture's moved. So it's really cool that you are educated in that and that you've experienced it yourself as a wellness coach and everything. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's made a big difference. Like you asked, like, how has it contributed to my growth? I think being willing to be with grief has really influenced my growth, and I'm grateful for it, even though it's been hard.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, and the work has paid off. You're saying, I hear you say that.
It has. Yeah. I think it's worth it. I do. Cause I think otherwise we just like operate over it and we have all these unhealthy coping mechanisms and we wonder why, like, we're getting sick or we're tired all the time or we're irritable or like, how do I keep ending up out of the same situation again and again?
Yeah.
Like, those things that we haven't dealt with, they show up, they're sneaky. And we don't even know that that's what's causing the issues sometimes.
I know.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I just read something too, that like sadness, you know, anger is a secondary emotion. So underneath it could be sadness and grief. And so a lot of times you have a lot of anger, and anger can actually show up in your body as like water weight and bloating. And
it's all connected. It's so, yeah, it really is. When I first heard that, I was in like a spirituality workshop and I was a nurse and they were like talking this stuff. And I'm like, I almost was like, get me out of here.
This You're crazy. Like, I don't want to hear this.
I was like, this is a bunch of crap. Like, no, you have thyroid issues because your TSH and your T3 and T4 are off like that. But then I was like, well, but why would that be off? And, you know, and then I'm like, well, something else is going on in the body. But the more I like stayed there during that weekend and like opened my mind, I'm like, okay, everything really is connected. And why wouldn't our emotions or our thoughts or our minds influence our body? And it does.
Yeah. Yep. And sometimes, you know, for you, like with your clients, it could be the first time ever that your client is hearing that, you know, because there's always a first time for everything. And so, I think that's amazing because I've definitely seen that in my therapy practice too. Like the light bulb goes on.
Like, oh, I know. Now whenever I have a symptom, I'm like looking up like, okay, what, you know, of course, what are the physical things that I can do for this symptom? But also like, what are the mental things or the emotional or spiritual things that are also contributing to this symptom? And how do I best support myself with whatever I'm dealing with?
Totally. This has been so great. And this is something that I'm definitely passionate about. And I know how important it is. So thank you so much for your time. Can you the listeners know where to find you and where you show up on the internet?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you so much for your time. And I love the mission that you're on. Yeah. So you can find me Holistic Nurse Coaches. There's an ES at the end, .com. And then on Instagram, holistic_nurse_coaches. And then Facebook, I'm under my name, which is Brittany Pano. So BrittittyCano. But there's probably like 100 Brittany Panos out there.
I know. There's so many Hannah Millers. I get it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
Especially in Indiana.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Well, this was so fun. Thank you so much, Brittany.
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoyed connecting with you. Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks for listening and watching. Can you make sure that you are subscribed so I can see you again? Make sure you're subscribed to the You Are Covered podcast wherever you're listening or watching this show, and take some time to review it on iTunes. This goes such a long way. I know it takes like a few seconds to get there, but it really, really matters, and I would so appreciate it. It goes a long way, and it helps us build a community here in the digital space. So thanks so much ahead of time. As always, know that Jesus got you, girl, and you are covered. Be blessed.